are still in the Gospel of Matthew, lesson number 2. It has been pointed out by several that with the classes being streamed, if we're reading Bible verses, it's much better if it's done here so it picks up. So if I don't call on you to read a Bible verse, don't get upset with yourself or think I'm picking on you. It just comes across better. Things we do for social media.
It would work the same way if everybody's on the first and second page.
Yeah, and we could mic everybody.
You wouldn't have to. I mean, yeah.
So Sam is suggesting every, you know. All right, Matthew chapter 1, lesson number 2 in the materials. I'll have additional lessons printed out this week and put out in the foyer. And just in case if anybody missed why we're doing copies instead of booklets, Sam, when we were getting ready to look at what we were going to do this quarter and we kind of decided on materials, he was looking to order his materials on Joshua first. And the bookstore now makes available a class version of the books, and I think you get like 100 copies licensed for like $90, and you get a PDF, and then you just print them as you go along. So what would maybe be $300-$500 is $94. If somebody wants a link sometime to the entire PDF of Matthew and get it all at one time, let me know and I'll just send you a copy of it. I've got it. All right, turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 1. And remember, although this is inspired writing, there are always some similarities to writings that we do today. So how you start a book sometimes is extremely important for a number of reasons, especially when one of the ways you start a book is, let me tell you what this book's going to be about. You know, you could start a fiction book by trying to get people hooked by some mystery that originally happens. Or you drop a few names and you got to see where these names come up later. Matthew 1 and verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Stop there for a minute. Remember, what nationality was Matthew?
Jewish.
Tax collector, but called to serve by Jesus. So he's a Jew, and from what we can perceive, he's writing primarily to Jews, okay? What's in that first verse that you notice that would be important for Matthew to write this to Jews? All right, come again.
Abraham, David.
What else?
That he's the Messiah.
The Messiah, okay. So it starts out telling us this is the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Okay? That's a pretty strong way to start a book to a Jewish audience. This is a book about the genealogy of Jesus the Christ. That's pretty stout. The son of David. Why is that important? Or is it? It's just something in passing.
Throne's not going to pass from David.
Okay, throne is not going to pass from David. What's important about David?
He was the king. He was the king that God made after God's own heart. But he's also prophesied to come. The Messiah was prophesied to come.
Yeah. The king throne would not leave his lineage. Okay, now let's take one step further back. Why do we need to bring Abraham into this? Like what? What's important to this? The land? nation, but also what? Going to be what?
All people of the world.
A blessing to all nations. We just covered a whole bunch of material in just one verse. But that would be so important to a Jewish audience. Matthew is purporting, I'm going to tell y'all about the Messiah, whose genealogy is in the Davidic line, the king, and also go all the way back to our father Abraham, to who these promises were made. That's a pretty strong start, okay? Absolutely. The Messiah, the kingship related to David, and we're going to, okay, he just doesn't leave it there. I'm not going to read this entire genealogy that's in verses 2 through, I guess, 16, but let's look at just some of these. Verse 2, Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Okay, so we start out with Abraham is where this one starts with and brings into some of these familiar passages. Verse 6, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon. And then we go down to verse 16, and Jacob, another Jacob, begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now, all of those details are provided there, but if you start at the beginning and go to the end, Jesus is linked to Abraham, to David, and then you have Jesus Christ here. The very important connections. We talked about it briefly a moment ago, but why is this genealogy important if you're going to talk about Jesus? From that, what was foretold? What was going to happen? The Messiah to be, in the kingly realm had to be from the lineage of David, and that ties it all together. Okay, I've got something written down here, so let me go see what that was about. If this was wrong, there's a lot of people that would point it out. And no dispersions to my dear friend, the CPA. Matthew, the tax collector, is kind of a bean counter, right? He's keeping up with money. He's keeping up with stuff. You can expect these details. And it had been wrong. They're standing.
That doesn't bother me at all, but it's
don't know either.
Maybe he was a better record keeper. Maybe he was a better writer. Maybe he had better resources or something. But it's really, it may mean something that, you've got Matthew and you've got John and you've got Peter, and that's it for the original 12 as writers in the New Testament.
Yep. It's, it makes you appreciate that God's got a hand in this, the record that's kept for us. 2 Samuel chapter 7, and I'm going to begin at verse 12 in the middle of a prophecy. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men, but my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. So that's the prophecy, the foretelling to King David, that these Jews know that your throne is going to be around for a while, forever. It's going to establish there. Okay. Anything about this genealogy, what we've got so far, this very beginning introduction, you have a question about or comment? Okay. All right. Now, let's look at, this is just one of those things that it's so put in order that you understand, or helps me understand, all of these things didn't go by happenstance. Verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Those are things that just don't probably happen by coincidence. There is some master plan, mastermind, a greater power that's behind this. So from, you know, Abraham to David, it's 14 generations. And then you go from David until the captivity, there's 14 generations. And then from the captivity until the Messiah, 14 generations. Read.
Was it 14 from Adam to Abraham?
I don't know. I'd have to look at that. Would that fit? It'd be close. Yeah. It would be close. Even if that's true, why would he pick up here? Abraham is where the promises are made. David, then the Messiah. Eric?
Yeah, kind of on that point, I was thinking about this. You know, Abraham is kind of the start of the nation. David and Solomon are kind of the peak of the nation. Right after that, there's division, and you can't create this record of generations after that kingdom splits for anybody who goes with the northern tribes. Also, not coincidentally, not long after this is recorded, you lose a lot of the generations of all the tribe, all of them. But then, Babylonian captivity is kind of the low point of the nation. So you've got the start, the peak, the low point, and now you've got Jesus coming on the scene, which is supposed to be the
here's the crescendo.
The world peak of what is about to come. Very interesting.
Yeah. Now, we've spent almost 3 years, you know, that we're studying in the Old Testament on Wednesday nights, not to count other countless times. We've just read, in a somewhat summary fashion, these very important highlights about why the Old Testament's even recorded for us, the story that is being told. And I think it's really neat that we go back right here And there is this reminder about the promises made to Abraham. Especially when you're writing to a Jewish audience, that's it. You know, that's the peak of this. My father Abraham. We are of Abraham. Sometimes it got them in trouble because they didn't. It got certain audiences in trouble because that's all they were linking to. But we see this real big picture of what's going on. So we get the genealogy, then you get this dropped in, this coincidental 14 generations, 14 generations, 14 generations. All right. Now, the next big segment that we have, and be thinking about while we read this, why would Matthew, led by the Spirit, include this information right here? Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till he had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Okay. What's this section all about? I mean, it tells us about the birth of Jesus. Okay, we've got that. What are the important things, though, in there for Jude?
Prophecy of Isaiah.
How many times up to this point, from Isaiah up to now, and I'm not sure the timing, I'd have to count that up, but how many times was there a child born of a virgin? Hadn't happened yet. Okay? And Matthew tells us now it has. Okay? So, one, it's a fulfillment of prophecy. What else do you note in here that kind of lends credence, significance, importance, things that make your reader's ear perk up? What else do you see here that just doesn't happen every day? Read. So, you know, we don't, in our current society, we don't have a betrothal period. Okay, I'm sure not that familiar with it, but there would have been a period of time that two people in all day-to-day aspects, they were husband and wife, except for the physical acts that might happen in marriage. And while that's going on, Mary is going to have a child. And Joseph, if I'm a Jew, I'm thinking, okay, my wife, the woman I'm betrothed to, she's now pregnant. And there was a provision by which she could be put away. And Joseph was thinking about doing that. But he was going to do it in a kind, you know, non-confrontational type way. What stopped him? A who and a what? Yeah. Okay. That hasn't happened a lot. It's happened, but it hasn't happened a lot. So an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and explains to him what's going on, how we got here. Don't put her away. Who else would you have believed if they had? Yeah. That's. We also, just to tie this in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, it'll be familiar to you when I talk about it. How was Mary made aware that she was going to become of child with the Holy Spirit? An angel appeared to her. You know, I have to believe that at some point in time, if it's revealed to us, I don't have a specific recollection of it, but at some point in time, can you imagine the conversation that Mary and Joseph could have had? You know, Mary, I was going to put you away, but God, through an angel, explained to me that this is the fulfillment of Isaiah. Mary, you know what? An angel came to me too. Okay. Now we either need to lock these two folks up, or there's really something of significance going on here. Would Jewish people have had any difficulties accepting angels? No. That's just kind of things that happened from their culture, their history at specific times. But an angel doesn't just appear and say, "Hey, Keith, it's about 15 minutes before lunch. What you want today?" You know, it's not those kind of things that angels show up for. It's something of significance. And I think it's interesting that when you put a couple of the accounts together, the angels came to Joseph and the angel came to Mary.
It says Mary was very perplexed.
Would you... I mean,
well, and even if Mary had told Joseph beforehand, it would have been hard to believe until the angel actually came to Joseph and told him as well.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. You scratch him.
I said that never happened before.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. That's your story and you're sticking to it.
Well, you know, the other thing that the book points out, you know, that genealogy, I mean, this shows that Joseph wasn't the natural father. The genealogy to the Jews, it was the father that was important.
Yeah.
So that's what's so important about the Luke genealogy. It shows that Mary
comes through Mary.
So they couldn't argue, "Oh, wait a minute, Joseph's not really the father." That genealogy doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because they got both.
Yeah, there's both right there.
Right.
Yeah. Kind of closes any loopholes.
Right. Okay.
All right. All right, so we have the genealogy that connects the Messiah, Jesus, to Father Abraham, to King David, and shows he's in that throne, in that lineage of the throne. Then we have the miraculous angelic ongoings of the birth itself. And put the records together, there's the revelation to Mary, there's the revelation to Joseph. And, you know, it as Erica was kind of hinting at a moment ago, it speaks, I think, very highly of the type of man that Joseph was, it would just be a very difficult pill to swallow that your betrothed wife is with child and you know it's not you. That would just be difficult. But yet an angel comes, and for all that we know, you know, Joseph accepted that. And then they move forward. Okay. Anything else here? Okay. All right. So we got the genealogy. Now we got the birth. Now we move to chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had obtained their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I will call my son." All right, let's stop there for just a moment. 2:1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, what happens? Wise men from the east show up, and they come to Herod, and what do they ask him?
"Where do we find the child?"
Yeah. "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" And who are they talking to? Herod the king. Okay. "For we have seen his star in the east." And why are we here? Came to worship him. Okay. What was Herod's reaction? Yeah. No. This isn't going to happen on my watch. In verse 4, Herod gathers together the knowing people. the chief priests, scribes, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Yes, sir. Beats me. Have you ever wondered, I'm sure you probably have, why in all of the nativity depictions are there three wise men? Three gifts. Yeah, that's just like we know that Eve ate an apple. We know that Jonah got swallowed by a whale. We don't. Those are just things that work themselves. Pardon? Yeah. Beyond that, we don't know. Eric?
I get these mixed up all the time. It's very likely that Jesus was not laying in a cradle when these men show up, because there's shepherds who come much more closely to his birth. I think that's in Luke's account, chapter 2. That's a different occasion.
Yes. Well, where do we know that Jesus was born? Where? What circumstance? In a manger, right? Where does it say in here that the wise men found him? In a house. And it wasn't say, New King James says a young child. Okay. So, you know, again, probably a social melding of ideas that don't technically fit together. Just as, you know, I have to trust what some of the more people involved in the customs and history and languages and stuff, he would not have been born in December as well. It would have more likely have been, they say, you know, late summer, early fall, just because of the conditions, weather-wise, things of that nature. Read. And I don't care to get into this deeply because we're not told. It's just things that I see, and sometimes logic is a scary thing. But this doesn't seem to me to be like a star we would see in the sky. You know, in olden times and even today, if you have the right equipment, you can navigate by the stars. Because they're always there. There's a pattern they follow. They're going to be there. Which way are we going? You locate whichever star you want to. This seems to be, to me, a special event that happened where something like a star, whatever it was that the wise men thought was a star, it may have been, appears somewhere near them that gets their attention, and then it kind of leads them to where they need to be. That doesn't seem like a normal, you know, constellation, star, astronomy that would be going around. That's neither here nor there. It's just something for you to think about. Levi?
It wasn't just that they saw the star and called it, they knew what it meant.
Yeah, something had been, you know, revealed unto them.
Like you said, it must have been something different.
Different, I would. It's, you know, and we're not necessarily revealed to us everything we need to know. I mean, an angel could have appeared to them. You know, why do you bring three wise men from the east that's not Jews, you know, to come worship this new king? We don't necessarily need to know all of that, but it put them in front of Herod, and Herod being concerned Hi, I'm Herod the king. How may I help you? We're looking for the young child that was just born king. What? You know, there's a threat to me, so I need to know what's going on. He summons the religious, wise people of his time and said, this Christ. It's interesting that he brings up Christ. You know, this Christ, where is he supposed to be born? And by prophecy in Micah, it's in Bethlehem. Okay, so they kind of got this much together already. And what does Herod tell the wise men? Or ask, well, he told them, but kind of asked them to do. Verse 8, he sent them to Bethlehem. So he found out where it's supposed to be. That connection has somehow been made that this child who's going to be king of the Jews must be the Christ. And the Christ is going to be born in Bethlehem. So he sends them to Bethlehem. And what are y'all supposed to do? I'm sorry, I cut off Chelsea. I didn't? Okay. Donna? Go make diligent search, find that child, and come back and tell me. And what does he tell him he wants to do? I want to go worship him as well. Okay? All right. Verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Again, I don't think this is a normal star. It's got a purpose, whatever it was, and I don't know why. I'm not a good Jew, but it makes me think of God leading the Israelites by cloud and a pillar of fire. That's just thing that rings in the back of my head. Where have I seen something like this before? And so, yeah, okay, we're being led there. When they saw the star, verse 10, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When they came into the house, blah, 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 they fell down, worshiped him, and they presented the treasures of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Okay? Now, the king had said, go find him, worship him, come back and tell me, because I want to go worship him. But verse 12, there's a plot twist here. What happens in verse 12? Okay. If there's something revealed to us, I've missed it so far, I have forgotten it, but the wise men, you know what the star is about. How? You know, it's not important for us to know that, but in verse 12, again, there is a divine intervention, and they were warned in a dream. Apparently, that's the way you did things right now. Joseph was warned in a dream. It's going to happen again shortly after this. That's just apparently a mode of communication that would have happened. Verse 12, that they should not return to Herod. They departed for their own country another way. So, to make sure things happen properly, verse 13, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And what did he tell Joseph this time? Time to go. Where do you need to go? Why do you need to go? Yeah, there's danger. And what I need for you to do is to take you, the child, and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. Go and stay, and I'll tell you when. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. There's enough information given to Joseph here that he now knows why he needs to leave. And it's also, in my mind, you need to kind of keep this on the down low because Herod's looking for it. And he's up to no good. 14, when he arose, he took the young child and mother by night, departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled. What we got here again? Another prophecy that Matthew tags in so that I will be able to call my son out of Egypt. So again, another point, not just something historically that happened. Herod's no good. We need to send you away. But there's prophecy about this. So we can tie that in.
And you know, Herod would not have known about Jesus had the wise men not coming.
Yes.
So that's another thing. God, it was all God's plan. Whatever, however, they did not start.
Yeah.
Right? That was in his plan to bring him to Herod, let him know, and then prophecies are fulfilled one after the other.
Yeah. And we haven't read it yet, but from your reading, did Herod just, the wise men didn't come back, and Herod just chalked this up, oh, nothing's going to happen with that. No. Herod was a believer about what was told to him. And what did he attempt to do then?
He didn't know which one, he was just going to start killing all the babies.
Yeah.
Male
babies under two. Yep. Not sure who it is, but yeah, and tack on to that indicia of that selfishness. I don't know which one of these kids might be the Messiah. I'm not taking a chance. That's unfathomable to me. I can't get that. I don't know if it's evil, wickedness, greed. I don't know what it is. Or a combination of all of the above. That's unfathomable to me. That you would just have an edict that all male children, certain age, they're gone.
Well, that whole family.
Now, it's not necessarily connected, but for a Jewish nation, have something like that happen again that would ring a little bell in the back of their head?
Pharaoh in Egypt.
Moses. Okay? It's just these little things that kind of, it rings that silent bell. Ooh, I've heard that before. How wicked was that Pharaoh that would have done that? How wicked is this Herod now that we see?
This Herod guy is really—he's a piece of work. He's a great builder and all that. He's definitely a piece of work. But for him to tell these wise men, which is what they're described as, I'm going to go down here and worship this baby. The Romans would have cut his head off if that had gotten back to Rome that he was down there worshiping a king.
A king.
I mean, that's been the end of the whole lineage of Herod.
Because he's in place by the grace of Rome. So
that wasn't a really good story for him to tell.
No. Maybe he could sell it to the wise men from the east that weren't around. But that's, you know, that's where he was going. All right. So to make sure we finish this, we got like 1 minute. If not, Herod had the edict to kill all the children. Herod eventually died. Verse 19, we got to get this one in. When Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Okay. Why did Joseph not go back to Judea? Herod's dead. Is the threat gone? There's still another Herod there we got to deal with. So you got the same problem again. Okay. Bell's going to catch us in a minute. If you've got any questions or comments, we'll take up those at the beginning of next lesson. Otherwise, lesson 3 next week. Thank you very much.